More of Lake Effect now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Harley-Davidson's 110th anniversary celebration has brought hundreds of thousands of people to Milwaukee. They're people from all walks of life linked by the community of motorcycling. Among them are some famous people, including at least one who is famous for riding a Harley on television. Actor Eric Estrada was one of the most recognizable faces on TV in the late 1970s and 80s. He played Ponch, Frank Poncherello, on the NBC series Chips, a cop show about motorcycle cops in the California Highway Patrol. The show was filled with car crashes amid beautiful Southern California scenes, and 30 years after the show left the air, Ponch is still the role people associate with Estrada, even after he had successful roles in several reality TV series and on some Spanish-language telenovelas. And so, when we caught up with the actor, he was at the House of Harley, ready to take part in the festival's tribute to law enforcement. Eric Estrada, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Do you remember what your expectations were when you signed on to be on the show Chips?
No, I was just happy to have a steady job after 8 years of working, not working, auditioning, trying out, getting jobs, losing jobs. I was happy to have a steady job and praying that it'd go for long, many, many years. And it did, and it did quite a few things for me. It enabled me to get my mother off of welfare and out of the projects and have her living the way I wanted her to live, and that's how she lives now, and she hasn't worked in 30-something years because I take care of everything. And it's given me notoriety and a popularity and recognition worldwide that I'm really grateful for, and I love being Ponch, and I like being called Ponch, and I get to do a lot with that celebrity now. You know, I get to do a lot of good, like, for why I'm here in Milwaukee.
But you could never have known that all that would come when you signed on.
Never. Who'd have thunk it? Go figure that all this would be. I still get approached constantly. You know?
When that show was at its prime, you were kind of at the top of the celebrity universe. How prepared were you for that part of your life?
Well, there's no school you can go to be prepared for that. You know, you take it, you learn as you go. It's school of hard knocks, more or less. A lot of it was good, and a lot of it was, you know, trash. But I was Flavor of the Month for quite a while, and I enjoyed it. I also was the centerfold of the Inquirer for quite a while. Because anybody could say anything and allege anything, and, you know, and boom, they'd write about it.
When you are a celebrity and you are the Flavor of the Month, do you realize you're the Flavor of the Month? Or at the time, do you think, well, this is gonna last for the rest of my life?
No, you get it right away that this ain't going to last, because nothing lasts forever.
You watch the people flame out today. Do you think they don't get it?
Those that burn out like that, or they're on a fiery road, they'll either get it after they burn out, or they won't get it at all and just burn out. Of course, you could say it's a shame, it's this, it's that, but it's life. It's their life, and the only time people really get it in life is when they're in their 60s.
Which is conveniently,
yes.
And that's when you say, wow, I'd like to squeeze another 25 out of this. And that's when you really get it, what's right and what's correct and how you should behave and what you should do, what you shouldn't do.
Chips has been off the air for 30 years now, and yet people still know you for that role. As you say, people still approach you. Do you think it was something about you? Do you think it was something about that show, about its time? What is it that makes it such a long-lasting kind of role for you?
So it's a bunch of things. First of all, it was three networks. It was on a Sunday night, 8 o'clock, family hour, the old-time Bonanza time slot. It was a show in which you could park your child in front of the TV and you walk away. We never drew our guns, and it was always clean. No innuendo, no alternative lifestyle things to look at. Nothing like that. And it was good. It taught respect for authority and just how to be a good guy. And also, another thing, when people see me, a lot of them realize it, but a lot of them probably subconsciously don't. But when they sat and watched Chips on Sunday night, 8 o'clock, closing the week, getting ready for the new week, they sat with the mom and dads and their brothers and sisters and you know, relatives. And they remember warm, fuzzy, cozy times. And that affects them, too. So that's one of the lasting things about it as well. And then the fact that it was the new Cowboys. It was Cowboys on motorcycles. It was the new Long Ranger. and Tonto.
What do you think of cop shows today? Because they are a much different breed than they were. Because, yeah, I remember being 8 or 9 watching Chips and not being scarred by it.
Well, yeah, because nowadays everybody is so desensitized. They have to visually have something that's sensationalistic. You got to see the gun drawn. You got to see the bullet penetrate the flesh, blow blood all over the place. When they fire at you, you just don't fall down. They want the wall behind you splattered. People are overstimulated, especially visually. In video games has done that. Spaghetti Westerns has done that. And it's just sign of the times.
As you said, you had been acting for 7 or 8 years before you got the role on Chips. I think you grew up in Harlem, right? What drew you to acting in the first place?
Well, I wanted to be a cop. I love cops. My mom dated a cop, and I loved the guy. So I wanted to be a cop all my life. But there was a pretty girl named Christine Laporte in high school the last year, last couple months of high school, that I wanted to meet. And she was in drama club, and I figured, oh, man, if I want to meet her, I got to audition and get in. And I figured, hey, I grew up in the streets of New York. I can act. So I auditioned. I got in, and then I got bit by the acting bug, and I had to put the cop passion to the side.
Kind of a happy marriage, though, that you ended up getting to be a cop. And later on, you've gotten to really do some law enforcement.
Well, I'm a real cop now. I do internet crimes against children in the state of Virginia. What's happened is that here I was a kid who wanted to be a cop because my mom dated a guy that I fell in love with, and he was a great role model. And then I wanted to be an actor. So I'm a guy that wanted to be a cop, became an actor that played a cop. Now I'm a cop that acts once in a while.
And whatever happened to Christine Laporte?
She's actually a psychic right now, very, very, very educated psychic, and lives in San Francisco.
Does she know that she had this formative role in your life?
I'm sure she's heard about it. I'm sure she's heard it because I've said it and I've written about it.
As you say, you're a cop that does some acting once in a while now. A lot of your more recent roles, commercials, some reality shows have kind of – you've gently poked fun at yourself, I think. Has there been a mind shift change for you about what kinds of things you're willing to do on camera?
Well, you know, I'd like to have fun and – to keep things interesting and keep myself interested and keep myself rejuvenated, I use humor because humor causes good endorphin energy to rave through your body and keep my interest in things. I use humor to just stay interested and to keep going. But of late, I was in the very faith-based movie ever made, a movie called The Cross and the Switchblade back when 69. And I just finished 2 faith-based movies that we have got to try to take this culture back that we're losing. The first one is about a case we had where a girl posted a picture of herself on a smartphone. The bad guy looked at it and said, oh, I like that. That's pretty. I could sell that. And started online communication like they're doing today. And people don't realize it, but there's over 40,000 chat rooms and kids are getting taken as we speak because nobody's educating them on what not to do in these chat rooms. And they don't know how to protect themselves. And then I did a movie called Uncommon, which I'm going to take on the road next January for a year. I take it to churches and such. It's to teach our young people that they have constitutional right to express their religious beliefs. And education is the best prevention. And they're faith-based. And that's what I've been doing, and that's what I want to continue doing, as well as my police work.
Does Hollywood listen to what you have to say?
I don't talk to Hollywood. I don't do my things in Hollywood anymore. There's a lot of TV shows and stuff like that. Disney definitely has taken over Hollywood and what we see on television. But for the most part, movies are being done outside of Hollywood. First of all, we pay 52% tax. I mean, I get killed every year with taxes. And Hollywood is probably going to wake up to the fact that faith-based movies are the way to go because they're making these billion-zillion-dollar movies and they're not making the bread back. People really want to get back to capture their culture that we're losing. Since we've taken prayer out of schools, we got bullets now.
You are in Milwaukee, obviously, as part of the 110th anniversary of Harley-Davidson.
Right.
You spent a lot of time on camera on a bike. Do you spend time on motorcycles in your own time?
Yes, I do. I belong to 2 motorcycle clubs. I'm a member of the Moose Riders, Moose Lodge. I'm also Blue Knight member, motorcycle club.
You have that badge on your vest.
Badge, and then this is CHP was given to me by the CHP. This is the wings of a motorcyclist.
For a guy that grew up in kind of tough times in Harlem, do you remember the first time? You probably wouldn't have had a lot of access to a motorcycle early on. When was the first time you got on one?
When I got chips.
I seem to remember there you were injured on a motorcycle filming chips, right?
I had a major accident in 1980. I broke that. Look at that puppy. Mm-hmm. I broke that.
This is your right wrist for people who aren't able to see.
It's busted, and I punctured both lungs, fractured a ton of ribs, cracked my jaw, ended up in intensive care for 5 solid days.
When you look back, I imagine you probably don't watch a lot of chips these days, but when you look back at that part of your career at the young Eric Estrada who was on chips, is it ever surreal for you to think about what that time was like?
It was a great time. It was a great time in America. You know, it was post-Vietnam. It was disco, free love. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Long hair, bell bottoms. Cocaine was not crack, so the nines hadn't come out to the streets, the gangs. It was a great time in America. Those times will never come back. They're gone.
Do you feel like you're doing, at least in your one-person way, something to try to reclaim what was good?
No, I just want to remind people that we, you know, we have a fabulous culture in this country, and we're letting it slip away. Everybody's becoming too complacent. Complacency is taking over everybody, and look what's happening. We need to remember how good it was and how right it was.
You feel like you can capture that mindset when you're on your bike? People talk about the freedom of being on a bike.
When you're on a bike, it's a total freedom from everything except focusing on your ride, because if you don't do that, you can get hurt.
Well, Eric Estrada, I wish you plenty of safe rides ahead. Thank you so much.
Thank you, partner. Thank you very much.
Actor Eric Estrada played Punch on the TV series Chips from 1977 to 1983. He was in Milwaukee for Harley Davidson's 110th anniversary celebration, and we spoke with him at the House of Harley dealership on Layton Avenue. There's a slideshow of the scene outside the dealership at wuwm.com/lake effect.